Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, my paranormal people? This is Marlon O, your host of Paranormal Ride. Welcome, get on board. We are about to go on a fantastic ride. We are kicking it off. It is chilly in Boston. Man, I mean, it should be chilly, right? I shouldn't be complaining. It is Wednesday, November 18th. 2020, and what a year it has been so far. I hope that everybody's safe out there, that nothing too crazy has been happening in your lives. And if it has, maybe there's a reason why. Things happen for a reason. There's always a reason, right? Today's show is all about hauntings. We have a special guest today that's going to come in and school us. Let us know. Sam. He is the man. Yes, he has written so many books on the paranormal. It's ridiculous. You all got to pick it up. But he'll tell you more about it. He'll tell you what's going on with that. He is also on some TV joint stuff as well. He'll talk about that as well. But, you know, we definitely wanted to go in there and pick on Sam's brain. We want to know what's going on. He is such a knowledge base. I met Sam some time ago. It's I think maybe I want to say five years ago, perhaps, maybe a little more. And when I was able to learn from him and pick up his books and look what and pretty much understand his research, he is a serious researcher, and I love it. And I think more of that needs to be happening in the paranormal. We have him on the show today. So if you want to talk to Sam, if you got questions for him, feel free to chime in and call and ask him some questions. But during this time, I just like to just say thanks everybody for tuning in. It's our kickoff show. Last month, I did a kickoff for just Halloween. So it was like a Halloween special. But this is the official first show of the season 4. Happening, coming back strong, been going out there doing investigations, getting out there, and just getting paranormal all around. I am going to be hitting the road, getting on the road, going on tour, and asking folks to share their paranormal stories. And, you know, I'm going to be recording it, and if you have paranormal stories, please feel free to share. We want to hear those stories. I know that you have them. I always ask people all the time, like, so tell me what's going on with your paranormal life. And they spill their guts, maybe because I'm a easy guy to talk to. I don't know. But everybody who tells me their stories is, I feel like, you know, it's almost like a little secret. Not everybody knows because they'll think they're weird. But I think we live now in an age that kind of attitude is actually out the window. And, you know, people are talking about UFOs now, left and right. Like, I'm a UFO buff. I love UFOs. Anything UFO, I'm nerding about. Just like recently, this administration released documents. I think it was the Pentagon. Yes, the Pentagon released documents about fighter pilots' experiences with UFOs, and there's footage as well. And people have seen this footage left and right. I am going to post it on Paranormal Ride on our Facebook page so you can follow up and check it out. And I do that quite often. Every time I talk about a topic or a subject, it's always backed up with something. It's not just because Freddie told me and Alice had this whatever. No, I'm giving you the facts. I'm telling you the story. I'm giving you the goods. So when Sam comes on, he's going to be telling you what he's documented and what he's developed himself and his personal experience. Because I was with a good friend today, Erica. We were going out there doing some exploring ourselves, and we bumped into some really interesting location that I thought had some residual energy, and I recorded some of it. And this, I had a door, two doors move on me and one slam on my face. I got that. You know, it's crazy. Every single time as an investigator, you kind of like dream that these things happen, and they happened. But could it have been the wind? Could it have been a ghost? I don't know. But the fact that it happened when I was kind of thinking about it was even weirder. But anyways, let me give you guys the lay of the land. We're going to be doing a show every Wednesday at 8 p.m., and that's going to be our kickoff time starting every week, paranormalride.com. It's on all social media, Instagram, Twitter. If you guys like to tweet, I tweet too. If you guys want to check out my Insta, I'm putting up the poster, the art, the paranormal stuff, things that I find as paranormal that's funny. I'm posting that there as well. So it's all paranormal. It's all good in the paranormalness. So a lot of the stuff that we're going to be talking today, I haven't had an apparition like appear to me. And I don't think it's about that. I think it's about understanding a little more about the space and what's happening in the space and what's causing some of these hauntings. Some people, and if you're new to this, you've been living under a rock, right? But if you are, you know, things that have to do with the paranormal, especially ghosts or hauntings, there's this thing that people say it's either residual, which means think of it like a tape recorder rotating over and over, playing over and over the same data, or it could be an intelligent haunt where you're communicating with a spirit, or it could be a poltergeist. And I think that's one of my fears, one of my big no-nos. I don't want poltergeists to be chilling. That would be terrible. I noticed on the flyer, I also put the wrong day, so I apologize if people are tuning in on Saturday. My bad. It's supposed to say Wednesday. I got nervous. I'm sorry. Can't help it. Sometimes I get too excited, and I just want to get this stuff out there. And so I did a boo-boo there. So if you see that, shame on me because I kind of messed that up. So let's get going pretty soon and get the show kicked pretty soon. I am actually – it's funny because as my show is called Paranormal Ride, I seldom have a chance to get on the road because of what's going on with COVID, right? So anytime I do have a chance to go out there and get an investigation going or talk to people, it's a gold mine for me. I just feel so elated. I feel so energized by it. So it's just one of those things, right? That now that things are going to get a lot better, I hope, we can do more unique investigations and stuff. Now, if you have stories, you want to chime in, I'm going to actually give you guys the number you guys can call in and talk directly. So if you have pen, paper ready there, or if you just want to click on the link, because I think if you go to the link, you should be able to call in too and chime in with us. The number that you should be calling is 914-202-5434. Okay, I'll repeat it one more time just in case if I went too fast. 914-205-5434. So all you do is just give us a call, chime in, let us know what you think. I will patch you in if you got questions and you want them answered. Because I have questions. I got a lot of questions for Sam. We're gonna be drilling Sam and see what. No, I'm just kidding. Sam is an amazing dude, so we're not going to drill him. We're going to treat him with respect and love. A lot of love. And also, if you guys have suggestions for show, I'm going to open up the chat room. And if you want to have – there is a chat room. I discovered that recently with Blog Talk Radio, that you can have, just that chat conversation kind of just popping there, which I love. I love so much. But yes, but I digress. But also email us at paranormalride@gmail.com if you have questions. So again, you want to say, I have a story. I want to share it. That's a good avenue to do it. Facebook and Instagram will be the same way too. Being a paranormal investigator, and people think that I only do just ghosts and stuff like that. I do it all. I big UFOs. I haven't found a Bigfoot. Sorry, not yet. UFOs, anything that has to do with the unknown. I actually was speaking to this lady the other day that she posted, I saw somebody teleport in front of me. And I immediately hit her up and I said, what do you mean teleport? She's in California. And she said, I was driving out of a Jack in the Box, like a restaurant in Cali. I was pulling out. And then next thing I knew, the car that was behind me, as I turned the left and I looked back, was gone. And it was a car right there. So I've heard a lot of stories about teleportation. I'm thinking it's a portal being ripped in space and time. It could have been the lady had hallucinations. I don't know, but I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that she experienced something that was unknown. I didn't know what the heck was going on, and she didn't know what was going on. She shared the story, and I loved it. And she actually said in her post, she said, I just don't want people to make fun of me. I think, people think that I'm weird. Well, that's the problem with the paranormal. People, oh, you're off the chain, you're high, you're drunk, whatever, you're crazy. And as we all know, that's, a lot of these experiences are so life-changing. It makes you think. It puts you in a position where you just feel like you open a new door to something that you just wasn't really aware that was there. And so that's what I love about the paranormal, because they ask all these questions, and we can get into all sorts of stuff too, ranging from, like philosophy, sacred numbers, a whole bunch of stuff like that. So we are going to have a season that covers a lot of these amazing topics. But again, what's close and dear to my heart, I would say, is definitely, it's all about ghosts. And I feel that's kind of brought me more into this world of the paranormal. I've had my own experiences as well as a youth, but I've always doubted it. I've always said, there's always an answer. And I kind of do approach things as a skeptic sometimes, but I'm not a closed-minded skeptic. I don't say like, that's impossible. No, you're just like sleepy and undigested steak. it's none of that. I feel like people have these really intense experience and it affects them. And I want to tell those stories. I want to hear those stories. I want to share. This is the place to share. There's no judgment here. This judgment-free zone. We are here to tell stories, reality, experiences, everything that's involved in that world. So, people out there listening, we're going to have him join us in a bit. I've got to make sure that I see him, that he's in the queue, he's ready to jump in, jump into Paranormal Ride and get in this vehicle with me and just get it going, And so let me just see if I can patch him in. I'm pretty sure he's there. I see him. He's ready. So, Sam will give us a little more information about what he's all about. So let me see if I can get Sam in here. Give me a second. And let's see if I can patch him in. Hello. Yellow. Yellow. Yellow.
Oh, hey.
Sam.
Hey, how's it?
Are you there?
Hey, Marlon. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. I can definitely hear you. It's just me, you, and hundreds of people listening online and Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, Sam, to Paranormal Ride. I'm so excited to have you on our show. I've been trying to get you on my show ever, years and years. And
really?
It's finally
okay.
Come true. I know you're super busy, And I've been thinking, yeah. I was like, man, you know, this is, I see you writing books. I see you on TV. I'm flicking through my channels and I see Sam's face. I'm like, oh man, you know, this is big time right now. But this is what you've been doing for a very long time. I was trying to reminisce when we connected, and I want to say like 5 years ago. When did the book come out? The
Marlon, it was longer than that. So it was like 2014, 2013.
Oh, there we go.
Ghost to Cambridge was my book at the time. And, you know, kind of like my journey, like my paranormal ride has taken me all over the place. I started off in like my first book was Ghost to Boston, and you were in my second book, Ghost to Cambridge. And then at that point in my career, I was still a journalist. I was the editor of a local magazine, and I'm like, you know what? Like, the people are really responding to my books, and I'm like, you know, I'm just going to dive deeper and deeper. It's the paranormal. And the more I did that, the more, of course, more experiences that I had and more of a believer I became as I was, you know, investigating some of these most, you know, like some of definitely Massachusetts's most haunted locations, but you know, I've gone Stanley Hotel and Colorado, and I've kind of expanded beyond just New England.
Right. So this is what I love about your work, Sam, is because you have a journalistic background. And I remember that we talked about this, that you have that background, and I come from a very tech world, a very like number based. I'm very analytical, very like academic, and so my mind goes in this fashion. But just because I have this like technical training, you know, I'm good with computers and technical stuff, and something about the paranormal really pulled me in. Something about the unknown, but it was almost like, even though it was unknown, like, you know, or these experiences, there was something to it.
Well, I find, you know, like when I started giving, you know, ghost tours. So like I would give tours in Boston, and then I launched my own tour in Cambridge, and then I became sort of like the expert on Salem. And it's funny, the people that go on my tours are not like who you would think. A lot of people that go on my tours are like MIT students. Like some of the smartest, most, you know, like science driven people out there love ghosts. I don't know what it is. And maybe because it kind of goes against exact like everything that they know, you know, maybe there's something there that something that kind of draws people into the paranormal and ghost stories from that world, like from the MIT, like super, you know, like brainiac world, like the mathematicians and all that. But yeah, I identify as a clairvoyant. And back when I first met you, I was still kind of afraid to come out of the, you know, I guess out of the closet when it comes to
yellow. Hello. People, I am back. Something happened with my connection, and next thing you knew, I was talking to nobody. Well, that's technology for you people. That's how it works. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it just falls apart, and I feel that was one of those moments that it just died out on me. Well, it's okay. We are back online, I think. We should be back online. Hold on a second. Yellow. Yes. Hello, Sam. Are you there?
Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm here.
You know,
like,
something?
I was what?
Yeah, the system reset itself and it kicked me out of the show, but left you on the show. So I think you were talking for a while, which is wonderful.
I was just,
you kept the show alive, I think. Is that correct?
Yeah, I was just talking. I'm like, la, 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 la. And I'm like, Marlon, Marlon. I'm like, what's going on?
I apologize because I saw you, you're on air. And I was like, hey, so, and I was like, wait a second, I'm not on the air. They kicked me out. So at least it was your show for a good 5 minutes. Can you believe it? It's all you. You could have said anything.
Well,
you could have been like, oh, blah, blah, blah.
Well, I co-host a show on Tuesday nights on KCOR on called Paranormal Rewind. So I do co-host the radio show.
You know how to take over and things go crazy. I love that.
Yeah. Well, I will tell you, I didn't want to call in on my phone. I know that's how you guys are set up. But my phone,
yeah.
Like when I talk about the spirits that I deal with or the entities mm-hmm. that I deal with, my phone always cuts out.
Really?
So I've learned. Yeah, I've learned that, that's part of the game. So I've learned, having to use, other technology to communicate really works better for me.
You know, that's a funny thing that you just brought up because I was doing a show with Ben Henson. I don't know if you know who Ben Henson is. So you know Ben. So I was interviewing him about his experience on the show, but one of the things that we talked most about his – he was an FBI agent. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah, he was on Ghost of Morgan City. Yep.
Right. But so I asked him, what was his experience about, as an agent? One of the things that puzzled you the most, UFOs. And I had him on the show twice. Every single time he talked about UFOs, the lines always got cut. Always. Never ever.
Oh, really?
It happened every single time. So then we had to call him on his landline to see if it was that, and it happened again. Something's up. Something was up. But you're right. Something about the energy that's released. So I'm also very curious. When I think I might have missed it because I got cut off and I couldn't speak. But as you investigate this more and more. What are the things that for you were unsettling? If at all unsettling, it could be just like very mundane, but something that you felt was like, I wish I had more answers to this as a researcher, when you're doing all this like background stuff that you're trying to develop,
Well, so when I first started out, I only had 2 books under my belt, and now I have 13. And so I would say that to me, the cases that really kind of stick with me and make me, get emotional are crime related cases. If there was a murder or if there was a crime, I connect with women and children as a clairvoyant. And if there's someone that was hurt, the thing with my abilities, I'm a psychometrist, so I read the energy at a location, but I also pick up, I'm an empath, so I pick up their energy as well. So if they if there's a spirit that was, was in severe pain, I'm going to feel that pain. And that goes for the Salem witch trials, which I specialize in. I've felt pressing on my chest before with Giles Corey, connecting with him. So it definitely I feel the pain of the people that I connect with.
Yeah. So I actually have worked with people who are clairvoyant or empaths and stuff like that. And it's such an important thing. When I do an investigation to have somebody who has experience with that, because I always joke about this because it's weird because they could be literally a ghost shaking money maker in front of me and I just wouldn't even know it. I just walk right by them, and I feel like I can most likely detect it through, some kind of experience through some medium, some technology, but I don't have that feeling, I don't get like, I don't sense anything, and not everybody can. And from I'm sure that from people you've connected with, they're in the same boat that I am.
Well, I really think it's a muscle that you have to work, Marlon. I do think that some people just don't have it. But I do think it's gender specific. Not to say that only women are intuitive and men aren't, but I think that for women, it's like a natural thing to be intuitive. For me, it's been something that I've had for most of my life. But Marlon, we need people that are more science driven in the field. So I recommend still doing what you do. And giving that scientific perspective, because I think that, you know, when I investigate a lot, I investigate with more of the science people, because I'm, you know, two clairvoyants in the room. You need one clairvoyant, a tech guy to disprove or debunk what, you know, or to validate what I'm feeling. And the show that I do called Paranormal Rewind, my co-host Keith Bailey is more of a science tech guy. He and I work together out in the field, and it's a great pairing of people because he can validate. We were at Fort Mifflin, which is in Philadelphia, and I'm like, Keith, there's a crawler crawling across the wall, and his devices like lit up as the crawler went right by it. And so the technology actually works in tandem with my abilities, Before we got cut off, not me, because I was talking, but I had an experience. So I was basically, because my background's journalism, and my background's actually historical research. So I consider myself a historian. I was giving a lecture at it was called Pierce Farm at Witch Hill, and I was kind of playing a character, and the character took over, and I got an attachment. And after having the attachment, that was removed by a shaman Michael Robichaud, something opened, it opened up my third eye. And that could, you know, I mean, not to say that you have to get an attachment, Marlon, to see ghosts or to experience ghosts, but that experience, like, that's a huge difference between the Sam that you knew, you know, back when we first met versus the Sam now.
That's amazing. That's very interesting that actually occurred in that period, because I remember, the way your approach was, and it's fantastic. The way that you are asking the questions, there's a lot of empathy in how you approach it as well, but there's also this curiosity and you take it serious, because to be honest, you know, a lot of the paranormal stuff, especially ghosts, people just kind of brush it off as, you know, weird people or imagination. But the way you did it was, you know, you have all these books now, you're on TV for it. And, you know, those kind of things, you know, I love your approach, because, you know, it's like, let's understand this a lot deeper. You know what I'm saying? So, but this other experience, that's out of this world. Like, I don't want to be possessed. Ever. I mean, if it ever happens, I guess, you know, let it be, you know, but that's not something that I'm looking forward to at all. But I guess, you know, I what I'm curious about a little more too, now that I have you on here, is what is your favorite haunting? What's your favorite kind of like experience with that, like a story that you keep on going back to that was like floored you? Yes, well, you have 14 books, right?
Because number 14 is coming out in February, called Ghosts of the American Revolution. You know, I, like, what's the difference between when I first started, and I'm still really empathetic or empathic. So when I go into a room, I interview the ghosts like I interviewed people. And so Marlon, I was terrified of ghosts. I was mortified. I was like, because I had experiences like through most of my life that I just shrugged off as like explainable. Like, I was working in New York City, and I would walk by Washington Square Park, and I there was this hand that would keep grabbing my leg when I walked by the park.
Oh, wow.
And I was like mortified, and it turns like that was a mass grave for a lot of people who died from tuberculosis. And I thought, you know, maybe it was like a homeless person or someone trying to grab my leg. I wasn't really sure, but it happened multiple times. And it was the spirits wanting to talk to me, wanting to tell their story. And I'm like, you know what? I'm terrified, but I'm going to do this. And then so I started interviewing the ghosts like I interviewed people, and the response was amazing. So I went the remainder, you know, the every time I write a book, it's not really like my first few books were like I wasn't in the story at all. It was like it was more like, you know, me writing about Harvard or like a cemetery or a location.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's more about me going at this location and getting my perspective and my communication with the spirits at the location. So I've had multiple experiences, like more than your average person, because I'm looking for it. And I always say, you know, like now I say, you know, I don't hunt ghosts. Ghosts hunt me. They come to me and they, you know, I've been hunted and I'm like, oh gosh. And you know, I'm one of those people, like I'm the last person I would ever guess would be a clairvoyant. If you put like a lineup of people, I would not guess me, you know. I'm like Marlon, mm-hmm. I would pick you over me, Marlon. But it's just something that happened and I accept it. And I've been sober since 2009. And when I was having a lot of things happening to me when I was drinking, and now that I've been mm-hmm. sober, I can face it with a clear, you know, with clarity that I didn't have when I was drinking. And I, mm-hmm. you know, I was using alcohol to kind of like self-medicate back then. And now, you know, now I personally think that, I mean, all of them are profound, but the big shocker, Marlon, is, so I've been giving tours in Salem, Massachusetts for about 10 years now. And I was drawn to the Salem Witch Trials. My third book was called Ghost of Salem, and that was like my international bestseller, the one that everybody knows me for. And that was actually right after I met you too. And so I'm related to the Putnam family, and I did not know until about 2 years ago. Yeah. So the Putnam family were the major accusers in the Salem Witch Trials. And I got possessed. I've been scratched. I've been bit at Salem. And I'm like, why am I getting attacked in Salem? I don't get attacked in Boston. I don't get attacked in Cambridge or, you know, I live in Somerville now. I don't get attacked there. Why am I getting attacked in Salem? And I really believe it's related to the fact that I'm related to the bad guy. And I think that you know, like a lot, I mean, pretty much like if you see me on TV, it's related to Salem. You know, it's like me getting, you know, getting what we don't call it really possession, but it really was like a possession. It was like an attachment that took over my body. I was levitating in my bed. I was suicidal ideation. Like it wanted me to jump off my balcony. My friend Joni Mahan, who's a fellow author, she sensed something was wrong. She came over. She's also clairvoyant. She came over and she's like, Sam, you're like, you need help. I was like, I'm fine, Jody. And I wasn't mm-hmm. even there. Like I was not emotionally there. And she called a shaman. Shaman came in. He did a removal. And this is 8 days after that initial attachment which was pretty much taking over my body.
Oh, wow. Something like that is—I mean, I'm going to say it's life-changing, like completely, like just the way you kind of move and do things.
Yeah, I went from like being, I would say like kind of, I wouldn't say enthusiastic. I was like when I first met you, I was like so like kind of gung ho. I'm like, we're going to use you know ghosts to tell history, and I'm going to, you know, like I'm going to change the world, you know, like the paranormal world. Now I am very guarded when it comes to any place that may have, because you can pick up something anywhere, Marlon. And I just know for me personally, I have, there's something about my energy that the spirits, like are the entities, the bad stuff, are attracted to, and they feed off of it. So I have to be super careful. I've learned protection. I think one of the first thing I asked you was, like, what do you use for protection? I think we have it on camera. I have my protect. Like I, you know, I was using a cross. I was like rosary beads. But now I'm using like hardcore shielding. And so I use a lot of witchcraft in my protection now. And that's from working in Salem and being friends from the Wiccan community. You can use whatever you need, but like I need hardcore protection after that possession. And my shaman friend, Michael, who saved my life, basically, he's given me a lot of tools too. His spirits actually check up on me from time to time. And mm-hmm. when I get in trouble, his spirit, he will text me out of the blue, like, Sam, there's something wrong. I'm like, Michael, you're right. I mean, I went to the, I was heading to the Conjuring House in Harrisville, Rhode Island. And I basically encountered like this black mist. That thing was like swirling around me. It kind of jumped on me. And then Michael basically picked up that I was in trouble. So we had to do a remote removal. He did it remotely, but you know what? It's weird. Cause as a clairvoyant, I can see when his spirits come into my place. Like I was at I ended up staying in a hotel, lying in bed, putting holy water around me and salt while this thing was being removed. You know, it was crazy.
Oh, wow. No. I definitely, but see, you know, Sam, you take it so well. I would be, I don't know how you take it well. I mean, I'm sure you build it up, but I would have been a complete mess. I would never want to do this again. You keep on chucking along because it's something that it has a lot of meaning to it. But I think like I'm sure there's a lot of people who've had your experience, but chalk it off and like, oh no, just a weirdo. Like they don't really get it. You know what I'm saying? Like they don't have that circle of friends like you have that can, well, some do, but you know, a lot of people who don't know anybody who's a shaman, don't really know how to get that. Like I have a friend who does Reiki and she sends me Reiki energy all the time. Like, oh, I'm sending you some Reiki energy, some blessings. And I can feel it. I can feel lighter. You know, maybe it's like, I don't want to call it a placebo effect, but maybe it's just exactly what she's doing. She's sending me that energy. And it's all about, you know, like if you say, you know, if you have a negative mindset, negative things are going to happen, you know. But if you have a positive one, most likely good things will happen, but it doesn't mean, you know, that bad things will happen, you know, constantly. But but I think it's fantastic that you took it, you took ownership of what was happening and did something about it. Other people would just shut down.
Well, I'll tell you, there was intervention. Like I didn't go like, help me, Shaman Michael Robichaud. Like they did it behind the scenes. It was like my friend Joni knew something was wrong. So thank God I have friends who get it, you know? And I do, I believe that certain people, like once you have an attachment like that, I think that you're marked somehow. So I would say that there's like a big bullseye. A bullseye with me when it comes to the bad stuff. But high vibration is something that when I first met you, I was a very high vibration. And the lower vibration, they want that energy. So they're going to bring you down, you know, just like people do that too. And
negative energy.
The negative people are attracted to the positive energy. And so I get the negative stuff, but I just got to kind of kick it to the curb. You know, I got to go like, you know what, you know, you can't have my energy. You can't ruin my life and just keep moving forward and kind of kicking them to the side. Now, my mother, she's like, Sam, you know, she's Southern. She's like, Sam, get out. You know, like that's evil. And really it's like, it's my calling, Marlon. It's like what I'm supposed to do. And I continue doing it, not because it's really my passion, but it's because it's what I'm supposed to do.
Absolutely, Sam. I mean, you know, that's the thing about this too, is that some people who are you know, experience these things, it either shuts them down completely, and they're not unable to deal with it. I do have a caller that let's see if they want to chime in. Have any questions for you, but let me just get them on the phone line. But Sam, tell folks more about the book that's coming out. Like I'm excited to, I thought, you know, 2020, it has been terrible, but this has just elevated it to a better end of the year. I want this book. So tell us more about it.
Yeah. So basically like this book called Ghost of the American Revolution, I actually wrote it like right before COVID lockdown. And then, so I was, you know, like I was on deadline. I did Philadelphia. I did a lot of the battlefields. I did Fort Mifflin. I did, of course, Boston. There's a lot of Revolutionary War history in Boston as well. So for me, the Ghost of the American Revolution was like revisiting people like George Washington, but also those who've been traditionally marginalized, like the African Americans who valiantly they fought mm-hmm. during the American Revolution for their freedom, and they were not mm-hmm. given freedom. And like those right. people, you know, like even the women, there were women like that were really important during the American Revolution, but because they mm-hmm. were women, they did not have a voice. Like George Washington's mother, Martha Washington, she was an amazing mm-hmm. woman. And even looking at George Washington with a different lens, or Ben mm-hmm. Franklin, or you know, or some of the people that we know, but a lot of people that were on the loyalist side, I looked at as well. Mm-hmm. in this book. So it's coming out February 2020, probably around the President's Day, which is so applicable. I had no idea that it was, when I wrote it, that it was going to be so applicable to modern, like what's going on politically.
Absolutely. And I'm glad that you're doing this and the way that you're framing it as well. I'm sorry, continue.
No, but I think that my purpose for this book is to give a voice to those who are traditionally marginalized. I think that mm-hmm. even, and it goes, not doesn't even mean like people of color or even gender, but it also, mm-hmm. it means people who were with the British. And there were like Sally Hutchinson, mm-hmm. for example, she was a daughter of the governor of Massachusetts. She was a loyalist just by the fact that she was a child of, you know, of the bad guy, you know, and she was, I mean, The Patriots basically they destroyed her house. They kicked her out of Boston. She was living in actually Middleborough. But yeah, I mean, like this is like there's a lot of people that we don't focus on, and we kind of whitewash our history. And truthfully, our country was founded by mob violence. It was founded by the same hysteria that created the Salem witch trials created our country. And I had no idea it was going to be so applicable to what's going on currently.
Oh, yeah, no. Man, I want the book tomorrow. I need something to read.
Tell that to my publisher.
That sounds amazing. let me get on the call right now. Let them know what's going on. So Sam, I do have a caller. Her name is Erica. She's going to just join us, and maybe she has a question for you or just wants to reflect on some of the stuff you just covered. Hello. Okay. Let me see if she can jump in here. Hey, hello, it's Erica there. Erica, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Hi, Marlon. Hi,
hey.
Sam.
Hey, Erica.
Welcome to Paranormal Ride. Thank you for calling in. So earlier in the show, folks, people who are listening, this is the young lady that I was hanging out with doing some exploration, and we're really good friends. But I mentioned to Erica that Sam was going to be on. I don't. Do you have any questions for Sam or any reflections? Or you just want to say hi?
No, I definitely want his opinion on something that happened to me when I was younger.
Okay.
So I was telling Mollern about this earlier, but I was sleeping on the floor like with my brother. This was like when I was like 7 years old or maybe a little bit younger, but I felt something grab my shoulder. And so I thought it was my brother, you know, like playing with me or something. And so I looked over at him and he was sleeping. And there was definitely a couple of other things that happened like within the house, but like only to me, not to anybody else. And
did you see any shadows at all, Erica? Or was it just the, like being touched? Like what did you see anything physically?
So I definitely saw like a claw. One time, a detached claw, just like a hand, definitely a claw,
right.
You know, with nails. But I'm just wondering, like, what could that possibly have been?
All right, so I'm clairvoyant, and I can pick up stuff that's happened. Did you happen to ever see anything with a hat? Like a shadow with a hat?
No, I just have those two things in my mind that really happened to me. Something touching me in my shoulder, and then, you know, the claw on the wall.
How old were you?
Okay, so I mean, also to like the there what are known as thought forms. So thought forms are kind of created. It's not that you created it on purpose, but did you have like at that time in your life, did you have a lot of like what was stuff going on? Like were you like upset or like, any emotion like strong emotions at that time?
Probably yes. I mean, my parents went through like a divorce and everything, so probably yes.
Yeah, so basically like what I'm getting is sort of like an outward manifestation of what the turmoil that was going on within. I think your age is definitely was applicable, and not to say that it wasn't you know an actual like entity, but a thought form is actually to me more dangerous because a thought form is sort of like telekinesis, so you're creating something without even knowing that you're creating it based on your inner turmoil. And some people call it tulpa. But I'm getting, so it's something, you know, were you like terrified of like horror movies and stuff like that when you were younger?
No, I actually really like welcomed creepy things. I was always into like scary movies and stuff when I was younger. So.
Cause what I'm getting is something that was kind of like kind of conjured, but without you knowing that it was conjured. And when I say that, did you use a spirit board, Ouija board at all?
Not when I was that little, but when I was a little bit older, yeah.
Okay, because something was brought in. Now, what I'm getting, so thought form, tulpa, or but not on purpose, like maybe on accident. But also, like I'm getting like interdimensional. So interdimensional is sort of like shadow people. So that's why I asked, was it a shadow? The hand with the claws could be like considered something interdimensional as well. What is it? It's basically an entity from another dimension that's been pulled over by fear, by trauma, so it's kind of like a scar in the universe, and this entity, kind of like a monster, is brought over. So, I mean, I don't know if that makes you feel better, but it's interesting that it's targeting just you and not anybody else. Like no one else saw it or experienced it.
No, exactly. Like I was walking into the kitchen with my dad, and I only saw it. Like he didn't see it.
And so, what was it in? Was it in Massachusetts? Like, where did this happen?
It was in New Hampshire. It was in Plaistow, New Hampshire.
Okay, because I was trying to get like if there was anything like in the past. So location's extremely important too. So for example, there's a lot in our area. There's a lot of Native American like lingering energy that is not good. And like the especially like in like New Hampshire, upper Massachusetts, so it could be Native American related as well. And I'm also getting that you have a sensitivity to this stuff, and you have for a long time.
Oh,
and
yeah,
you were
definitely.
tapping into that. So that was, I had experiences like that when I was a kid too, and no one else saw it. It's because I'm clairvoyant, because we even see the bad stuff too. So basically you're seeing the stuff that no one else can see because you have a gift that you're able to see. Now, whether or not you want to work on that, that's definitely something that, that's up to you. Cause I know it can be kind of scary, but it's something that like you were showing signs of having the gifts, where you can see, the paranormal, see entities, that sort of thing.
No, I definitely feel like I haven't seen anything since those two experiences, so I'm not sure if it was maybe because I was really young, you know?
You know, and I've heard stories of really young kids having a lot more abilities than as you become
right.
adult and the world takes over. But, you know, but you did mention to me that you have empathic stuff happening to you, Erica. Is that, I mean, I think Sam picked up on that.
Like, I have certain feelings about things a lot that I notice that like a lot of other people don't have. So maybe that's a part of it too, but I'm not quite sure, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so let me kind of, I think we actually probably have a similar story. So when I was a kid, I had similar kind of crazy things. Like I was seeing things like hands with claws on them and things like that, and a man with a hat. That's why I asked about the man with the hat. Yeah, that's a whole other entity that I don't want to talk about because it terrifies me. So
yeah.
I was mortified. I was like Danny from The Shining, and I put on what we call paranormal blinders. So when things were happening to me as an adult, in my 20s, in my 30s, I shrugged it off. I'm like, oh, that's not paranormal. That's explainable. But it was like so many weird things happening. Then when I met Marlon around that time was when I kind of opened up again, because like that was my job. Like I had to write about the paranormal, kind of go to these haunted locations. I was kind of like looking for it. And then I started really. So it's one of those things that like, I think right now, Erica, you have paranormal blinders on. My blinders were on when I first met Marlon years ago, but those blinders have been like literally ripped away from me because I had to kind of keep moving forward and grow. And I think that you have the ability to build that muscle to be an empath. Like it's kind of, you start off kind of like as an empath and you have the feelings, and then you kind of like work that muscle by going to haunted locations, by working with doing Reiki and doing, you know, and healing and really focusing on protection as well, because you are definitely, by having the gift, you're kind of like marked, like you could get an attachment basically. So you have to be really careful out in the field, Erica.
Yes. No, I feel that for sure. I definitely take on energy, you know, a lot.
And the entities feed off that. Because like, I'm like the two, and the entity.
Oh, Sam, you're breaking up.
Yeah, because we're talking about entities.
there you go. Chill out with that secret.
But yeah, I mean, yeah. If you, Erica, definitely, I would love to, you know, talk to you after the show if you wanted to just touch base, because it's something I think that, you know, like if you really want to work on it, there's ways to do that.
No, I would definitely love to. I mean, I'm really drawn to places that have a lot of emotion, like abandoned places, you know, like abandoned hospitals, abandoned schools, abandoned places that have a lot of history attached to them. And I always kind of wondered, like, why, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, what's happening is that the spirits that still linger there, or the energy that's still lingering there, is kind of calling you to those locations.
Mm.
And
And
at some point you're going to be able to like hear them, but like now you're kind of being pulled there. You're like, why am I being pulled here? It's because they have their story they want to tell, basically.
Oh my God, that is so, yes. I just got chills. I definitely can feel that. Like,
well, you know, Erica, actually, can you stay on after the show closes down? Because we're going to wrap the show. We got about seven more minutes left. And so just stay on the queue, and I'll connect you to Sam before the show ends and stuff. But Sam, so can you let folks know how they can get your books, or, you know, what TV shows you're on or in the books and stuff like that, just so people know how to connect with you?
Sure. So now I have a website. So
awesome.
SamBaltrusis.com is my main website. If you want to get my books, you can go to Amazon and just type in Sam Baltrusis. Really, if you go to like type in like Sam Ghost and in Salem, it'll pop up. You know,
yeah,
my name will pop up.
Yeah.
And then because of like there's a lot of changes on television right now because of COVID. So I did film some things during COVID. There's a show that I did with the Ghost Brothers and Jack Osborne called Fright Club. And that is coming up. I'm not sure when it's going to air, but it'll hopefully air soon. And of course you can watch my episode of A Haunting. I was just on a show called Paranormal Night Shift. And then I'm on a radio show that I co-host every Tuesday night on KCOR called Paranormal Rewind. And that's at 7 p.m. Eastern time. And we rewind our favorite television shows. And people like Ben Hansen is on the show too.
You talked to Ben too? Oh, cool. I love Ben.
We actually haven't had him on yet, because the thing is, like, we bring people on that are like promoting shows.
I gotcha.
Yeah, he like at the time, like we've had Sarah Lemos, who was on the show with him before.
Yeah.
And then
very cool.
I don't know Ben, but my co-host knows Ben pretty well.
Cool.
You know, he's definitely someone we're gonna have on the show. But yeah, I have a lot of respect for him.
Yeah, yeah. He's a really serious guy. He comes from real like investigation background, and he just had a kid too, so which is I was sending him some I think it was now the baby's like 2 years old now. Time flies. Sam, thank you for joining us and kicking off Paranormal Ride. This is our really our kickoff episode. So I'm so happy that you were able to kick it off for the for a Paranormal Ride community. Last week I was mentioning I kicked off a live show at Salem, but you know how crazy Salem was with the lockdown and stuff like that. So it was just like a live show that I did just to let people see what was happening, and it was pretty packed. But again, thank you for jumping on, and you know, we would love to have you more to share some of your amazing stories and your perspective. Like, I'm so glad that Erica was able to call and chat with you and get some clarity, because there was a lot of aha moments in that conversation that I also was listening to. I was like, you know, there's a reason why she's being attracted to this, and I never put it together the way you did.
Yeah.
So you're a ninja.
Marlon, one more thing. You have like a medicine man in your past, right? Like you have someone that was like a healer, do you or?
It's interesting. I'm a Central American native, so I have a lot of Mayan blood in me. Mixed with Spaniard, but my Mayan blood, it's very fascinating that there is, like, my grandpa was, he's a spiritualist, really, but he was like a hardcore Catholic, but he kept his Mayan culture very, like, close, and I would see icons in his he's passed away about 12 years ago now, and he's a legend.
Right.
But, like, he had on the wall, he would have, like, these Mayan hieroglyphs with these like ritual, like really amazing stuff, and I was like, what is going on here? So one day this is when grandpa was alive, maybe like 15 years ago, he goes to Guatemala, and then grandpa and my mom's like, he's like, oh, he's going to Guatemala. I was like, oh, that's fantastic, he's gonna get an award. And I'm like, award? I'm like, for what? You see, because I know he's an artist, I know he did guitar and he sang on a band. And I was like, oh, is it for the music? He's like, no, he was an actor. And I was like, an actor? Like, grandpa was an actor? He's like, yeah, he did a movie that he was the Mayan king, and he was the leader of all the spirituality in the Mayan culture. Anyway, it's a movie, and he was getting an award for historical movies and all that stuff. And I was like, it makes sense. Grandpa was a spiritual leader. And I feel the person who guides me a lot is him.
Well, I was going to say that, but you have a guide figure, and the thing is, I think the reason why you're doing what you're doing now is because of him. He's kind of like, he's the energy for your paranormal ride. So keep relying on him. He's your protection. He's also like an intense protector too. He will dock anyone away if they get in your way.
Remember you mentioned something about protection. So what I tend to do is I carry batteries in my pocket, but I have this thing that I used to use as a prayer session that I use that comes from him. So I use that thought process to protect myself. Even when I travel, anywhere I go on an airplane, I have this thing that he would do to protect me. So I feel that. Well, Sam, thank you so much for joining us today. The show's about to end. Time flew, as it always does on this show. We're going to be on next week on Wednesday, another Paranormal Ride. We start at 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. everythingparanormalride.com. You can get to all the social media that way. So again, I want to thank you, Sam, for joining us, and it was a fantastic ride. Appreciate you.
All right. Thanks, Marlon.
Okay, don't hang up on us. We're gonna go on the queue and we'll talk. But again, everybody, thank you so much for joining in, and we will catch up with you guys next week. Y'all are the best. Peace out. Can't wait till next week.